You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to this episode of the Business of Practice podcast, where we focus on the business and human sides of equine veterinary medicine. In this episode, we're going to talk to two veterinarians who opened their own ambulatory veterinary practices, Drs. Alexis Thies and Matt Davis, to learn how they accomplished this and their recommendations for others that wish to follow this path. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Grice, business consultant and former equine practice owner. The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you in 2024 by Care Credit. Dr. Alexis Thies grew up in Virginia with three sisters and a variety of pets, from horses to boa constrictors to exotic parrots. She learned to ride at a young age, competed on the local show circuit, participated in pony club, and taught children to ride in summer camps for several years. She also spent multiple summers working on a thoroughbred breeding farm. Dr. Thies graduated from Virginia Tech with a degree in biology before attending the Virginia Maryland Regional College of Veterinary Medicine, where she received her DVM in 2004. Dr. Thies was an associate veterinarian at the Piedmont Equine Practice in the Plains, Virginia, from 2004 until 2022. She then formed Paragon Equine with fellow veterinarian Dr. Jenna Porto in 2022. Dr. Thies lives in Upperville, Virginia, on a horse farm with her husband, three kids, and an assortment of pets. Dr. Davis received a BS in biology from Olivet Nazarene University in 1998 and his DVM from the Michigan State University College of Veterinary Medicine in 2003. He completed an internship at Littleton Equine in Colorado, after which he practiced at Merritt and Associates Equine for a year and then spent 3 years in Ohio at Firethorn Equine doing standard bred racetrack practice. After that, Dr. Davis joined Saginaw Valley Equine for 6 years, followed by practicing at Countryside Veterinary Service for 10 years. He has a special interest in equine wound management and lameness problems affecting the performance horse, particularly lameness originating in the foot. In 2023, Dr. Davis formed Davis Equine LLC based in Adrian, Michigan. He and his wife have three children. Welcome, Drs. Thies and Davis. So glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As veterinarians who have recently started your own practices, you have lots of experience now with the nuts and bolts of taking this leap off the cliff. So I thought to begin, we should talk about, how did you organize your thoughts? Did you write a business plan? Did you write down like mission, vision, values? So basically, how did you decide what your practice would be all about and what was most important to you? Dr. Thies?
Okay. So I didn't write anything down. Yes, I write no medical notes, but I'm not a person that writes down a lot of thoughts or keeps a journal or does anything of that type. The first thing I did was found a business partner. There's another veterinarian, Jenna Porto, who we had worked together for 10 years at the previous practice. And we both decided we were ready for a change. And so we kind of came up with together what we wanted to do. So I basically made a list of the things I need to have accomplished before we could actually open our doors. And we had a very civil departure from the practice that we were working with. And so we had a little bit of time to kind of plan things out. And basically, we finished up at the former practice on March 31st, and our new practice started on April 1st. And so the biggest thing is we wanted a really seamless transition to basically prove to our clients that we had it together. So before we opened our doors, we knew that we had to have a website ready to launch. We had to have all of our equipment in place, all our drugs and medications in place, our truck stocked. We basically needed to be able to go, 8 a.m. the next day. So that was the big organizational part. To me, this sounds silly, but the hardest part that I remember was coming up with a logo. I know that sounds silly and trivial, but it was difficult. And for some people, it's really easy. And for me, for whatever reason, it wasn't. And, you know, we had to come up with something that we both really liked. We had to, I tried the inexpensive online create your logo plans, and I just wasn't coming up with anything I liked. So that took some time. The website I tried to do on my own and quickly learned that I was really bad at it. And then by luck, I happened to meet someone who had a really beautiful webpage for her own business, not veterinary related. And after chatting with her, I realized that she was a web designer. So once I figured that out, that really did well. So she created our website. Initially, I thought, okay, you know, we need to put together a large sum of money and a loan, and then we could buy all of our equipment and vehicles and all the needed items through that. And we went to a bank, and I went to several banks, and basically they said they were happy to give me a personal loan, but they were not willing to write a loan for a business that has no previous history and also has the word equine attached. Small animal vets, it's really easy to get a startup loan, but they do not loan to equine startup practices. So kind of took a different path, which I think is what most people that I've spoken to had to do. And it actually was pretty simple. You know, we bought trucks the standard way. We basically bought them ourselves and the business paid for it. We, you know, the companies that sell, you know, ultrasounds and radiology equipment and things of that nature, assuming you're buying new, they, of course, have loans that are very easy to structure. And basically, you can buy that in a day. And it'll be shipped to you within days. The, you know, you work with a drug rep and they work really hard for you. That's been a really good experience. And they, you know, with a couple of days before opening our doors, we went ahead and put in a gigantic order and had all that ready to go on day one. The other thing is a lot of the large distributors like Covetrus or MWI, they have new practice startup plans where they will defer all payments for 6 months should you need that. So that's an easy way to get medications without putting money up front. The other big drug companies such as Zoetis, BI, and another one that I'm not thinking of at the moment, Merck, they have a huge buy one, get one free program up to about $10,000 each. So, and then of course that purchase is done through your distributor. So you still have the benefit of deferred payments should you need that. And so we maxed out the 50% buy one, get one free thing just because it seemed like it was a lot of free medication. That was a little scary, not knowing what our practice was going to look for and basically spending $50,000 on medications, but that worked out fine. And we cleared all the products within 3 months. And yeah, it was overwhelming and stressful. And then the day we started our practice, one thing that was really challenging was figuring out how to use our new program. Because of course, you know, you have all the work to do. It's April, we're busy, but we don't know how to write an invoice. So that was a little chaotic for a couple of days, but we worked through it.
Yeah, it seems like starting right at the busy season must have been kind of hard.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that.
yeah. Dr. Davis, so how did you sort of formulate the organization of your practice and the just getting started part?
So I would say some parts are similar to Dr. Thies, and then some parts were very different. I had been a partner in a practice for 7.5 years, and probably the last 3 years of that, every year at the end of the year, I thought, why am I working to pay the salaries of my partners? And my wife, very instrumental in my life, she says, hey, why don't we try this on our own? And I was always afraid. So thankfully, her confidence and my kids' confidence in me to step out was probably the driving force for me. But I wrote a lot of things down. I did not have a business plan per se that I could have taken to a bank. I think that would have been helpful. But I wrote down why would I do this and why would I not? So I had my list of pros and cons, and I wrote it and threw it away and wrote it again and threw it away many times over a 3-year period. And then one other very influential thing for me was meeting with two of my customers, one who is a business consultant. He helps small businesses around the country. And I didn't even know that that was his job. He didn't even say anything to me about it. We would just have breakfast like once every other week. And his dream was to have a veterinary clinic out of his house his whole life since he was 12 years old. And my dream was to have a practice. And now I do office visits out of his home on Thursdays. And then the other guy was a horse trainer, of whom his customers I work very regularly for. And so, yeah, I met with an accountant. I met with my father-in-law, who had been a successful business owner. And but I do think, had I looked back at it, it would have been wise to write a business plan and actually go through the steps of sitting down with a bank and saying, this is how I think I'm going to make my money. And this is some history of how I have made money in the past. But I didn't do any of that. And I also didn't borrow any money to start. So I was very fortunate in the amicable separation from my practice. I was able to take all of my equipment and my truck with me. Part of my buy-in was you had to stay 10 years in order to be vested. I was at 7.5 years. And when I left, I said, well, I can borrow money and buy out the rest of my buy-in. And then you can buy me out of the practice, or you could just give me these things as in return for services that I have paid in. And so the accountant worked it all up, and it turned out very good because I started with zero debt other than my new practice program, which I did pretty much exactly the same as Dr. Thies, utilizing all of those things. So no point in revisiting that, but because I followed almost the exact same protocol as she did.
The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you by Care Credit. Care Credit keeps equine veterinarians at the heart of care by providing horse owners with simple, budget-friendly financing options. By helping to bridge the gap between costs and care, Care Credit supports healthy financial relationships between veterinarians and their clients. Clients have a flexible way to pay over time for all types of care, and practices get paid in 2 business days. It's a payment experience everyone can feel good about.
The question that I need to ask you that you raised at the beginning was that you felt fear. And did you ever identify what you were afraid of? Was it fear of failure, fear of what was your fear?
Yeah, so I think most definitely it was a fear of failure, because probably the same for you, Dr. Thies. When you're a part of a practice, you're getting a paycheck from something that's bigger than you.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you are the you. You're that thing. And if it fails, you're feeding your family, you're taking care of whatever, school loans, whatever things that are instrumental in driving your life. And so I was afraid of that I didn't mm-hmm. want to fail. I had never failed really at anything in my life. And so I was I was afraid of that.
Right? Yeah, it makes sense. Dr. Thies, did you feel fear?
I don't know that fear was, I think the fear that I felt is that I had been in a very large, successful practice for 18 years. It was the place I started right out of vet school. And it was like my second childhood. You know, I felt like I grew up as a veterinarian there. I had really close relationships with all the other veterinarians and many of the long-term staff there, and leaving them was just really, it was sad and it was scary. And, you know, I still miss that part of being there. I miss the people. There were just so many years together, and I'd never been a veterinarian, outside of that business structure. And so, yeah, it wasn't fear of failure. I knew I'd be okay. It was more just how lonely it would be and what it would be like. And, you know, also not knowing, you know, before I gave my notice, how that would be perceived and how that would basically go down. And it went down far better than I anticipated. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a really positive thing in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that I hear from many, many people when they're contemplating starting their own, is that they're afraid. And so I'm so glad you brought that up, Dr. Davis, because, you know, facing that fear, exploring the fear, you know, maybe even naming the fear and sitting with it and figuring out what exactly is making me feel fearful allows people to go forward. So you guys
it's a bit comical too, because everywhere I ever practiced, I was always successful. So It was based in nothing, really.
Right. But it feels real.
Oh yeah.
It's very real. Yeah. It's very real when you're going through it. So you guys kind of described the nuts and bolts of getting it all together. It was pretty simple setting up all your accounts. How did you choose what software you were going to use? Did you have a bunch of sort of demos on stuff? How did you guys decide? Dr. Davis, did you already know what you wanted, or what did you do?
No, I started by just doing a Google search of equine veterinary software. I also spoke to a veterinarian on the west side of Michigan who she had recently done the same thing. She's, I think, around the same time starting as you, Dr. Thies, and she left the practice as well. So I said, hey, what do you use? What do you like about it? What do you not like about it? And then I had experience with my own, my current practice software. And so then I just set up a couple of online demos, and you know, that's how I went about it. But I did not speak to anyone who was overly excited about any software program that they were using. I think there's frustration on everyone's front, whether you use HVMS or you use Cornerstone or whatever. There's no perfect program, unfortunately.
What did you end up going with?
So I use an app-based program called Thorovet. I really like their medical records. I will say that their customer support is lackluster. It was started by a veterinarian, and then I think it was purchased by a larger corporation who probably is not very interested in the individual. But it works. I don't use the scheduling feature at all. I use Google Calendar. Their scheduling feature is useless. And Google Calendar is delightful, and it's free.
Right. So. What about you guys, Dr. Thies? What did you and Dr. Porto decide on?
So one person I haven't mentioned yet is that starting from the beginning, we employed a really wonderful person, Mandy, who basically functions as our practice manager. And she, at this point, works for us very part-time, but she did all that work for us. And so we ended up going with EasyVet. We were accustomed to using HVMS at the previous practice. And I think the biggest drawback of that for us was the server, and that you had to download your computer and upload at the end of the day. You had to maintain a server. Sometimes things went wrong with that. And so we wanted something that we could just work right off the web. So she interviewed a couple companies online, and she picked EasyVet for us. And she's the one that set it up and structured it for us and figured out how to use it. And that has been priceless, because that is not something Jen and I are good at all. So, you know, an EasyVet, I will say, it's ended up being a little more expensive than I thought it was going to be. But it the customer service is based out of New Zealand, and they're really available, and they've done a good job. So we've been happy with it.
Well, that's great. I'm so glad to hear, you know, that both of you were able to find ways to sort of streamline that process, because I know there's so much choice, and sometimes too much choice is paralyzing, and you just, you know, you're worried you're going to make the wrong choice. And so that seems like it worked out really well for both of you. What would you say was the biggest surprise that you got when you started your own practice? Dr. Davis?
Ooh, the biggest surprise. How long the stuff that is not veterinary medicine takes. Like my practice plan, I was going to do no shots, no Coggins, a very specific lameness and chiropractic work. That's all I wanted to do. And that was driven by, I think Dr. Thies mentioned this. I met with my drug reps, and one of them was my customer. I worked on her horses. Well, actually, both of them are customers for many years. And she suggested forming a practice that's like a club. Hey, this is my club. This is what it takes to be in my club. And if you do these things, then you're out of the club. And so I don't know how I got onto that. But the biggest surprise was the pain of at night putting in information to Global VetLink, which is no more global than your own practice, right? Because if you draw a Coggins, or if you need to do a health paper for a customer whose Coggins was drawn somewhere else, it's like you got to recreate the whole Coggins, which is really very frustrating. And then you're doing that. You know, before I would turn in blood work and write something on the board and magically it would just all happen. So it's given me a very huge appreciation for what support staff did. And I have texted and called all of the people at my old practice many, many, many times, thanking them for all that they did that I did not know that they did. Because they're great people.
Mm-hmm.
I think
you brought up the club thing, because it's a subject that comes up, and some people don't call it a club. Some people call it, these are the rules of engagement. If you want to be my client, actually formalizing boundaries around the relationships and also setting expectations for clients of what is acceptable behavior. And if you don't exhibit acceptable behavior, you're out of the club, basically. But if you think about all those rules ahead of time, which is what your client was helping you think about, then you can hold yourself accountable because you've actually written down what are the rules, you've tried to set expectations, and then nobody should be surprised when you're like, I'm sorry, I think another veterinarian would serve your needs better. I'm so glad you brought that up. Great thing to do when you start a practice.
Yeah, if you define the boundary, I think on the front side, very helpful. So I wrote a new client letter, and then I revised it, and then I gave it to a half dozen customers and had them read it. They gave it back to me. Then I gave it to my mom, who was my English teacher in high school, and she read it and gave it back to me. And it didn't look anything like at the end what it looked like at the beginning, but it was really good process to define all that stuff.
That's fabulous. Dr. Thies, did you and Dr. Porto do anything like that? Or because you already had so many relationships, I mean, you kind of just moved your client base followed you, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Although we probably, I'm hearing Dr. Davis's letter and I'm like, we could still do that.
Yes, probably. You could. Yes, yeah, you like, could. You could.
Really, I think everybody should do that. And I think that's probably the best piece of advice for this whole podcast. So I think I'm going to work on that. And I might actually like to get the letter from him just to see what he wrote. But
happy to send it to you.
Yeah, since his is all beautifully edited. We basically, you know, nothing changed except that we were working for ourselves. It was sort of surreal because, you know, we saw the same people on Thursday as the people we saw on Friday. And Dr. Davis's business model of doing chiropractic and lameness is definitely the smarter way to go as far as work-life balance. I think mine is the opposite. I do a lot of emergencies, a lot of herd health, a lot of repro medicine type cases. Dr. Porto loves lameness. So I send all that and a lot of the imaging stuff to her. I'd be happy to never ultrasound anything but a uterus ever again. And she loves to ultrasound everything but the uterus. So, you know, having a partner to do things is lovely. But really, for the most part, it was a lot easier than I thought it would be. Things I thought that were going to bog me down was ordering, for instance. I find ordering actually really, really easy. Once you establish a relationship with the distributor, they will help you quite a bit. I mean, there's days where I'm on the road and I don't have time to put an order in before the cutoff time, and I'll just text my rep and she'll put it in for me. So that I thought was going to bog me down, and that did not. One thing too is when I worked for a very large practice, there was a very large radius for emergencies. And when you were on call, it was rough. I mean, you would have calls from every client that ever possibly heard of the practice. I mean, you were often covering for other practices. The radius was, I mean, it was more than an hour from one end to the other. And so one thing I've done on my own is I've pretty much narrowed it down to a much smaller area. So when I do have emergencies, I don't have to usually drive very far for them. So, you know, the nice thing about starting your own practice is you kind of get to do it your own way. And the things that were, you know, frustrating previously, those all go away and you get to make your own. So, yeah, I think you have to learn to ride the bicycle the opposite direction, as I will let Dr. Grace explain that. But sometimes it's a little bit hard to change your train of thought of this is the way we've always done it. This is how it's done. And one other thing, too, you know, leading a larger practice, you know, I kind of spoke of this earlier with kind of the family energy that you have there and, you know, large groups of rounds and lots of other veterinarians to share your cases with. I thought that was going to be really scary. I'm like, who am I going to ask about all these cases that I need assistance on? And then what we did is when we left, we met up with a bunch of other solo vets in the area who are very like-minded. And we try to meet for rounds. We'd like to meet more often than we do. And that has been wonderful. And so I have a lot of people to ask a lot of questions to. And I've actually found it really great because they're not all trained by the same people. They have lots of different ways of doing things. And it's kind of, it's been eye-opening and really positive. So I highly recommend anyone going out on their own. Like, don't be afraid. You're going to find your new people and it's going to be good.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up because having that sense of community can really make people feel less lonely. Like when you do, you're used to being in a big group and suddenly you're not in a big group, but you create your own new community. Sometimes that's around an emergency cooperative where all the cooperative members meet, you know, once a month for dinner and share cases. And other times, you know, it's more frequent. You know, people get together for breakfast or whatever. I want to jump back to what you said about riding the bicycle the other way, because I think we were not on the podcast yet. And so before we jumped on and started recording, I want to let the listeners know that I was talking about Dr. Eleanor Green's AAEP presentation about adaptability and how she utilized a story in a video about a bicycle that was made so that to turn left, you had to turn the handlebars right. And she was talking about how difficult it is to unlearn things that you know deeply in your body, like muscle memory, or deeply in, you've done them for 30 or 40 years. It's very hard to change. So finding that and watching that recording of that adaptability presentation at this past year's, I guess we were in San Diego, I recommend it to all of you. It was a great, great presentation. Anyway, we're having an awful lot of fun here.
It is fun. Yeah, I enjoy hearing Dr. Thies's ideas of, you know, how the path happened for her. My practice is totally different. I don't do any emergency work. And I made it very clear in my letter that I was not going to. And if you wanted to be in the club, then you need to maintain a relationship with the other practice. Now, if it's a lameness emergency, absolutely. I'll make that happen on a Saturday, a Sunday, in an evening. But I didn't want to be out throwing up legs. And part of that was driven by the practice area that I have come from. And when people don't know what an emergency is and they call you, or they call you out for a retained placenta, and really they just didn't look very hard in the field because the placenta is out in the field and the mare is totally fine and stalled. So,
or they call you out for the dystocia and all you've got is a nose. You don't want to see that one either. Alexis, right. Dr. Thies might, but you don't want to see it.
No, I don't think anybody ever wants to get called for a falling ever.
Yeah, we don't like those. So is there anything that you wish that you had known before you jumped off the cliff? Dr. Thies, anything?
I guess it's always good to have someone just tell you, you're going to be okay. It will be fine. And it was. That there's really nothing to fear, that you will find your own way. You will find people to help you. And you will be happier in the long run. So you just have to do it.
There you go. How about you, Dr. Davis? Anything you wish you'd known?
I think Dr. Thies said that very well. And I would echo one thing. She mentioned having a practice manager. that was very helpful in doing the things that she did not want to do or didn't like to do. I think having somebody in your court who covers those items, like for me, that's my wife, and she's a rock star at doing them. And so it's really helpful to me. Like, I don't like the schedule. I don't like those little details. And so to have somebody on your team who is for you and doing those things that you don't care to do is really, I think, very, very, very helpful. But as far as what do I wish that I had done? My regret is I didn't do it sooner. I should have done it a very long time ago and would have been fine. I one short story, my son, my oldest boy is a freshman in college, and he laughed at me for all of the different ways that I turned the cube and looked at it from a different side. And he said, "Dad, do you know how many people start businesses that never ask themselves all of the questions that you're asking? And they're successful. They do fine." Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the United States, it's a place of small business startups.
We are an entrepreneurial nation. Yeah,
very.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think you bring up a good point that two good points. One is most people wish they'd done it sooner. And secondly, staff, staff people often sort of hesitate to have any. And I would say that you can hire remote staff now because technology being as good as it is. There's the Mom Project where people all over the United States, you know, have a certain number of hours, you know, open to do administrative kind of things. And you can pair up with somebody pretty readily, even if you don't have somebody local. So as we run out of time here, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners that would help them in this journey? Dr. Thies?
It's a tough question, but I don't have a good answer for that one, other than if you're listening to this, you're already halfway out the door, wherever you are. So now you just need to figure out how to get the rest of the way out the door.
That's right. So, kick the door open.
Yeah, just keep on going. You know, don't look back and just keep moving forward. And, you know, when you're starting up your own practice, there's a lot of different things you have to kind of juggle all at the same time. And, you know, the thing that took the longest to order was the X-ray lead vests. I mean, it's just bizarre.
Wow.
If you want just what's off the shelf, that's simple. But if you want anything that's slightly variated, you know, a variety of that as far as Velcro closures instead, or maybe you don't want the standard blue color or whatever, it could take like 6 weeks. So yeah, some things just take a little longer. So basically you just, you know, the smart thing would be do what Dr. Davis did and write everything down. And then you just, when one thing starts slowing down, you just pick up the other and you just keep looking up and you keep moving forward. And
I think there's a country Western song that goes like that. We could probably sing it.
I don't know what it is, but yeah, that was apparently my motto and I didn't even know it. So you just keep going.
Absolutely.
I actually don't, you know, it's like a lot of people say they wish they had done it sooner. I actually don't wish that I had. I had a really good relationship with the practice where I was. I had two kids during that process, had nightmare pregnancies with both of them, requiring significant amounts of time off. They were very supportive for all that. I mean, I think I was where I needed to be for that period of time. And then, you know, some changes occurred that made it very clear that it was time to go. And once I realized that, then it was just, that's just what needed to happen. And so, yeah, I have no regrets from the past as far as practice stuff goes, and just happy to be where I am.
I'm so glad that both of you were able to exit with, you know, easily and with relationships intact, because veterinarians as a whole are really, really good people. And so sometimes our lives change and we're ready for something else. And how nice that you both, you know, were able to maintain those relationships that were clearly valuable to both sides. Dr. Davis, do you have any closing bits of advice or anything you think our listeners should know?
I thought it was interesting. Dr. Thies mentioned talking about the camaraderie and maybe missing that. In practice, I have found on my own, I'm able to enjoy my customers now more and take a little more time with them because I don't have to help manage cases for 9 other veterinarians in the group practice I was in. Cause I was kind of the only lameness guy there. And so, you know, you got all of your cases, plus then you take on the cases of everybody else with things that they're maybe struggling with. And I don't want to say that and sound proud. That's not my intent, but I have time now to speak and spend with customers rather than feeling like, oh, I got these other things that I need to get to. So I get my camaraderie now from my customers, which I was missing for a long time, and still have good relationships with those people at the other practice that we meet for breakfast and do those kind of things. But I guess last advice, it probably depends on your personality. I like to have answers to the questions that I don't even know that I'm going to have. And so I did a lot of investigating for myself. And so I'm a look before I leap, and some people are leap before you look, and probably both ways have right paths for them. So.
Right. You know, when I was leaving clinical practice and going to start doing business consulting, and I was needed to hand in my notice to my partnership, and I was terrified. And a friend of mine called me on the phone. She knew I had to give my notice the following morning. Just our partnership agreement called for 6-month notice. And she said, how are you feeling? And I said, oh my God, I feel kind of sick to my stomach. You know, I'm afraid of heights and I feel like I'm toes on the edge of the cliff looking down at the sharp rocks and I have to jump. And she said, Amy, spread your wings and fly gracefully away. Look up. And it was fabulous advice. Thank you guys so much for joining us today, Drs. Thies and Davis. I've really enjoyed this conversation with you. And thank you all for listening to the Business of Practice podcast. And a very big thanks to our sponsor, Care Credit. And to all my listeners out there, be brave, embrace change.